League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Half of Americans use subtitles and closed captions while they're watching TV all the time.
I think this is a thing that, you know, everybody's social media is making them do, right? It's basically taught us how to do it. But I've noticed that people have been doing this other places, like people that I saw traveling before, people that were coming from different areas of the world, they were using subtitles all the time. Half the shows that I see subtitles on now don't actually need them. They're speaking English.
Of course. So producer John, producer Sean, Raven, if Instagram and TikTok have taught us anything, is that most people don't listen to social media with the sound on. It's usually with the sound off.
Yeah.
So to get more views on your Reels and on your TikToks, you put captions on because people read them and they don't just scroll right by them, and it increases engagement, et cetera, et cetera. But it's also kind of taken over TV. And I have found now that I watch everything with captions. And I read every single word, even though I hear it and it's perfect English. I just keep reading it and I can't stop. It's like a weird addiction.
Yeah, the problem is I think that like TV shows are more popular than movies, right? That would be safe to say. Like
sure.
These big, long miniseries with these really super complex plots. And I feel like if you just don't have the captions on, you miss stuff. You miss little details. Like House of the Dragon, you're trying to keep up with all of those different names, all the Game of Thrones type of shows. Like, you know, I don't know. I feel like I lose track of something if I can't read it. Like if you miss just one line, you miss the whole reason why some dude kills somebody three episodes from now.
I mean, I don't ever keep track of the names anyways. I just kind of get the gist of it. But
yeah.
All that old English, I guess it's a little bit more understandable for a show with that. It's like when somebody just has a little bit of a draw and they're putting the subtitles on. That's weird to me.
The accent's another thing.
It's weird to me.
Yeah, Sean, you turn on the TV. You watching it with subtitles, yes or no?
You know, back before I dated Rachel, no. But ever since I started dating Rachel, she's the subtitle person. And now she's taken every single one of my accounts and turned the subtitles on in every single one of my accounts. So now I have no choice but to be the subtitle person.
Yeah.
And I loathe it.
Yeah. Isn't your lady's into anime too, right?
Yes.
So then that's like a thing. Because if you're watching that, even if you can hear it, you know, the mouth really only has like two or three motions, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not like you can read their lips. You know, you're not enunciating. Like if I watch something and it's dubbed, I can clearly see that they must be speaking another language.
Yeah.
It doesn't line up at all. But with anime, it's either they're screaming or they're just opening that mouth just slightly, right?
Yep, for like two words.
Right. So I guess that makes more sense in that regard.
I just don't understand why I do it. It's like a weird addiction that I have now.
That you read it at the same time.
Yes. Like, why do I keep doing it and reading it? Like, I just don't understand why, but I can't stop either.
You know, it's funny. If I see a TV across the room, I'm always reading the tagline.
Yes.
If the news is on, doesn't even matter if I hate that station or if I know the story. You're right. Just can't stop myself.
The thing I hate about subtitles is I feel like I'm going to miss something in the actual show because I'm trying to read the words.
That's what I'm saying, dude. You're going to miss some weird key detail and then you have no idea what the heck's going on.
It's the concert phone effect. You're watching through your phone so you miss the actual thing that happened on the stage.
It's so weird. It's so strange. The top TikTok trends that could actually harm your health. What are they? Let's check with the experts.
Healthwise with Dr. Wider, the Anna and Raven Show.
Dr. Jennifer Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com. Jenna, what is this all about?
So, you know, a lot of people are watching TikTok in huge amounts of numbers, especially in the United States and especially young people. And the problem is that there are people that claim that they're experts constantly on TikTok promoting all sorts of ridiculous health theories. And the latest is about rubbing castor oil in your eyes.
Oh, my gosh.
No, come on.
I know.
But don't you see that? And you're like, probably not a good idea. But I did hear, oh my gosh, I just realized I'm one of these idiots. So, Jenna, I was talking to somebody, and they use castor oil to make their eyelashes grow instead of, like, the Latisse or all those, like, medical things you can buy.
Yes.
So I bought it at home, and I just haven't used it yet.
Oh, my gosh.
But I guess it's not that much different than putting it on your eyes if I'm putting it on my eyelids.
No, I'm thinking it's the same thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And here's the issue. Like, that was one of the other claims, right, that it helps promote eyelash and eyebrow growth. No studies to date have tested that theory. The problem is that it isn't sterile. Let me run through the other ones because they're just equally sort of scary. So another one is drinking raw potato juice for strep. That made its rounds over the spring. Potatoes contain vitamins and some antifungal compounds. But the problem is that a lot of people thought that you can drink raw potato juice, and I don't know how you juice a potato. I'd love to see that.
Wait, I was like, am I the only person that doesn't know how to juice a potato?
I mean, you must be. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're pressing these potatoes. Thank you very much.
With what?
With a press.
Oh.
I mean, seriously, get a potato press and join the 19th century.
So people are drinking this raw potato juice, and they're avoiding using antibiotics for strep. And strep throat is one of those things that you can't sort of wait out because it can cause all sorts of complications. The next trend that we're seeing is dry scooping pre-workout powder without mixing it with anything.
So what do they do? Just put it in there, like just eat the powder?
Pixie sticks.
Yep. Oh.
A lot of diet and fitness influencers were doing this, but the problem is that people are inhaling this. It's getting in their lung, and they're having all sorts of issues. Did you guys see the Borg trend? It was called, like, the Blackout Rage Gallon. That's what it was called.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And they were naming their Borgs. You have to
Correct.
Name your Borg.
So
yeah.
What is it?
It's, like, basically bringing around a giant drink, right? And just that's, like, you just drink your drink. It's kind of like a roadie, I guess.
Exactly. But it was in one of these one-gallon, like, milk containers. So they clean them out, name the Borg. They would put so much alcohol in these. And a lot of these kids were doing this in college. And in early March last year, UMass Amherst made 28 ambulance calls a day due to Borgs.
I mean, what?
When somebody offers you whether or not you want to swig, the answer is no.
No, I don't want your Borg.
No. This is mind-blowing to me. I think of the days when everything the internet told me was so true.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to go back to the good old days of eating Tide Pods.
I just remember at the beginning of this interview when I made fun of people that fell for these dumb TikTok trends, and then I realized I have a bottle of castor oil that I ordered on Amazon for my eyelashes, and it was the number one thing that you're not supposed to do because I was going to put it directly into my eyes.
Good.
Yep.
Yeah. Dr. Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 This is your turn to vent. Just go ahead and say it. Whatever is making you nuts, upset right now. 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Rick, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, anyone who watches The Bachelorette or The Bachelor on TV, that's all I need to know about you.
Raven, would you like to take that one?
Yeah, I mean, first off, bro, I am completely entrenched, all right? And don't blow it. Don't give me no spoiler right now. I think the Men Tell All episode is this week, so don't blow it for me right now.
I mean, I don't understand, Rick. I'm with you. Raven's obsession with The Bachelor and Bachelorette just seems so strange to me. I've never been able to make it one through, like, a full episode.
I got sucked in during the pandemic. Yeah. All right, you know, there was nothing to watch, and I started watching it, and now I have seen every season since Clayton's season. And Charity, you know, I don't know who she's going to pick. Like, I just don't know if I trust Joey right now.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
Dalton is the guy. That is the guy. Like, since episode one, I was like, that's the dude you need to just wrap the season and leave with right now. So we'll see what happens.
Do you want me just to read you the spoiler?
No.
I just pulled it up. It's right here.
No.
No. I'll tell you off the air.
Just glad it wasn't Aaron.
Now, Raven, does this mean you're hooked?
Questionable on the Golden Bachelor coming out this fall, but let's face it, there's not going to be anything else on television with the strike either. So, you know, I'm here. They've got me.
That's all I need to know about you.
Cindy, that's all I need to know about you.
So if you ask me to help you make your ex jealous, that is, like, all I need to know about you. This guy, like, asked me to dance with him at this club because his ex showed up, and just to make her jealous. I'm like, ugh, all I need to know about you.
It's a little strange. There are a whole group of people, though, that enjoy that type of thing. So maybe he thought that was a pickup line.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's people that love to be the drama, right? Love to be the cause, love to be the thing. There's a whole division of people that love to date people that are married.
Well,
that's just the way people are.
I guess.
There's always a weirdo out there. He thought that maybe you were one of those weirdos.
No, sorry.
His ex actually came in and wanted to make her jealous.
Well, yeah, maybe he just needed a favor. Could have been.
Did you dance with him?
I did not.
Right. I wouldn't either. I'd be like, get away from me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ingrid, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're on your phone in between sets at the gym and there is a line waiting for the machine that you're on, that's all I need to know about you.
Yes.
Common courtesy is just dead. It's no longer common.
It's always, I don't want to say uncomfortable, because I think it depends on how much you go to the gym. When somebody's like, can I jump in between your sets?
Yeah.
Like, no, you can't. But, you know, like, that means I got to get up, I got to clean the machine, you're going to use it, then I got to clean it again before I get on to just do, like, 12 reps of a pull down. But if you're on the phone and you're just monopolizing machine like it's yours, like, that stinks,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, you got to speed things up here.
This has been in the news.
Survivalist murder suspect who escaped jail and led law enforcement on a manhunt is back behind bars in Pennsylvania.
Well, that's good news, right? Yep. Except it gets a little bit strange.
Mm.
Police arrested Michael Burham, and he escaped jail in Warren County using a rope made of knotted bed sheets.
Mm.
But after 9 days on the run, he had made it all of 6 miles.
Now, hold on. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, if you're a survivalist and you've been on the run for 9 days, you only make it 6 miles? That seems like you've been very, very lazy.
I mean, well, sometimes, you know, hiding in plain sight is the best way to hide.
Really? Because listen to this.
A couple spotted him on their property and alerted police.
And I said, what are you doing in my backyard? He says, I'm camping. Well, no one camps in my backyard.
So this guy,
he's surviving. That's what he was doing in the backyard. He's surviving.
Yeah.
He was not moving. That's what he was doing.
And the family dog goes out back, sees you in the bushes, and, you know, you're busted.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right, you're going to escape for jail. He did the old school, the bed sheets tied in knots out the side. I can't even believe that's a real thing.
Classic Listen, man, move. If they're going to give you the tools, you got to use them.
Behind
right?
the poster of Raquel Welch, dude. That's
what I'm
the
saying.
Way to do it.
That's right.
You're going to escape. How are you going to do it? And where are you going to run? Where are you going the first place you go? Producer John.
I'm
going to
dye my hair. That's the first thing, because I feel like if I dyed my hair, if you don't know what I look like, you go to our Instagram. I'm all over it. I have had white hair since I was 13 years old. It's my signature. Signature look. Everyone refers to me as the gray-haired guy. I think if I change my hair color, I'm immediately invisible.
Like Clark
I'm
Kent.
Immediately invisible.
Nobody will see him.
That's exactly right.
It's amazing, right?
Take the glasses off and no one knows me. And then I just walk out. I don't need an escape plan at that point. I just walk right out.
Yeah. All right.
It's not a problem. And then I'm going to Canada. Going up to Canada because I got a lot of relatives up in Canada, but none of them really look like me because they're all like kind of distant and stuff like that.
They don't have white hair.
Yeah, but you know what you figure out? Once you break out, you know what you figure out is anybody that you thought is like, oh, that's my boy, they're calling. Bro, they are calling. Mm-hmm. They are turning you in.
Distant relatives.
This guy had a $22,000 reward. So, I mean, if he had a $22,000 reward, forget it. That Canadian dollars, that's...
Nobody wants to get hit with the hot stuff they're going to be throwing at you, too.
Really?
You know, that's the thing. Nobody wants to get hit with the lead.
Sean, how are you escaping from jail and where are you going?
All right, simple. I charm a guard, lead him to the broom closet, judo chop him in the neck, put on his outfit, swagger out of there like I own a place. And where am I going? I'm not going to go hide anywhere. I'm going to go find a snitch that put me there, and I'm going to handle that.
Sean has spent the last 6 years coming up with this
plan. I was going to say, he's been thinking about this for a while.
Sean, it's like, tell me you grew up in the hood without telling me you grew up in the hood with you sometimes.
It's fantastic. I'm going to find that snitch and handle this.
I mean, what? All right. Raven, your turn.
I'm going to go out with the laundry or some of the shipments or something like that, right? Whether it's the uniforms that are going out for laundry or whatever, I'm going to be in the bottom of one of those baskets. That they ship the cigarettes in and the gum and the other things that people want inside that they can't get their hands on.
Here's the thing is that the cigarettes and the gum and those are very small things, Raven.
Yeah.
And I'm not
I'm
trying to call
up.
You large. I'm just saying, like, you know.
Well, I'll be on the jail diet, number one.
Okay.
First off, so I'll be working out before then, you know, forced and, you know, only eating my 3 squares. After that, you know, the woods does sound attractive, but you got to get on a waterway or something. That way you can cover more ground longer, you know, quicker. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You don't want me miles away? Okay, I need like a kayak. I'm still a kayak. I go out with the uniforms and I steal a kayak.
I'm going to do it like Teresa Giudice did it when she went to jail. I'm just going to work out and get super fit.
Right.
I'm going to sleep a lot, be really well rested. And then eventually they're going to let me out and I'm going to write a book and make millions of dollars.
that's kind of what they do.
That's what they do. Yeah. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. I don't know why this makes me sad, this story.
Well, you want to believe things that you're told before, and Sandra Bullock is America's sweetheart.
Absolutely. That, actually, you just hit it on the head. That's exactly why I'm sad.
But it's just a movie.
Michael Orr has been trending. Who is he? What's it all about?
The former NFL player who inspired the Oscar-nominated movie The Blind Side is suing the couple he now says falsely claimed to have adopted him.
So remember this movie with Sandra Bullock? It's about a teenager who was portrayed as unintelligent, and he was homeless, and this family took him in, and he was really good at football. He ended up winning a Super Bowl, I believe, right? And it's up
so with the Ravens.
Yeah, exactly. They go on and they say,
Michael Orr says he learned earlier this year that the couple never actually adopted him, but he says tricked him out of millions of dollars. The former Super Bowl champion is asking a court in Tennessee to terminate the conservatorship he signed back in 2004.
It's like so many years later.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. So oftentimes athletes, they go broke after they have their career, right? Through money mismanagement or other people taking advantage or whatever. Conservatorship means that they're overlooking his finances, making those business decisions for him, effectively, you know, acting as his power of attorney. And it has far reaching different ways for this to work. I mean, if they made money selling the story, how much of that money did he get? How much is he entitled to?
Yeah.
Is this a bad lawyer coming around to him now going, hey, man, you're broke, but your story should have been worth this or whatever? And is that lawyer actually incorrect? If it was his story and money is still being made off residuals off this film, shouldn't he be getting paid?
So the family that I guess I shouldn't say adopted him because they didn't really adopt him or they created this conservatorship says that like this isn't true, that like the money that they received was like a flat fee and it was basically just divided amongst them and they all took their share and they've kind of moved on and they've kind of not really said much of anything except we love him. He's our son. And, you know, like we're sorry that he's going through this and he feels this way.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. Money can tear all sorts of different people apart. Right. It's happened. And we've seen this with athletes before, with people that they've come under, you know, improper guidance. If you look at Mike Tyson, if you look at there's a long list of individuals that have gone through something like this.
I had this internal struggle in my mind last night
and to even mention it.
No.
To soil Sandra Bullock's name.
Well, I was like, you know, you think of Sandra Bullock and you think like, first of all, she has nothing to do with this. Like,
didn't vet it. She didn't do the full investigation. No, we can't blame her.
I'm like, oh, he doesn't have any money. This poor guy. I go, Sandra Bullock should just give him $1 million. And then I started thinking, I go, what kind of moronic idea is that? That this poor woman.
It's not her responsibility.
She won all these awards. Yeah. She just acted a part, and now she's got to give this guy money? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Again, I want to just state that that has not been a ruling. This is just Anna's fantasy that she came up with yesterday.
Right, yep, last night, lying in bed, being like, Sandra should just give him money. Like, she's some kind of, like, bank. Bank of America.
He's an angel. Yes. Right, yeah. She's just handing out millions of dollars to make people feel better.
Yeah, there we go.
A sad story.
Yep. How do you handle it when you encounter a child that's not your kid doing something pretty bad?
Mm.
Do you say something? Do you act out? Do you reach out to their parents or do you do nothing at all?
I think it depends a lot on what it is that's happening and who it's happening to.
Producer Sean, what happened this weekend?
So we went to an amusement park over the weekend. Me, Rachel, our son, my stepson, a few of my stepson's friends. At one point, you know, I was taking my stepson and all of his friends on rides. They wanted smoothies. We passed by a smoothie stand. All the kids wanted smoothies, so I got them all smoothies. One of my stepson's friends takes two or three sips of the smoothie. I'm talking barely any sips. And he's like, you know what? I don't want this. And what does he do with the smoothie? He just takes it, and I'm talking like as hard as he can, just bombs it onto the ground. It splashes everywhere, going on other passerbyers, and my mind was blown.
Yeah, it's like a $6 smoothie, too. You know that. You're at the amusement park. They ain't giving those things away for free.
Like a complete side note. Is there anything more annoying than when your kid makes them buy you something and they take one sip and they can't stand it and they don't want it?
Yeah, it happens all the time.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah, you can't do anything about it, though, because they're kids.
How many times I got to tell you, you don't like the blue slushy. Why we got to get it every single time?
That's why you look evil when you refuse to buy them anything in the future there. What happens? It's an upsetting moment.
Yes. So, of course, I say to him, like, hey, like, you know, you can't be doing that. That's, like, very rude. And, like, what about the people who have to clean it and all the people, like, who are passing by that you just splash smoothie on.
Right.
The kid looks at me and in very colorful language tells me that I'm not his dad.
Okay, time out. Time out. Let's play What Did Producer Sean Do Next? Raven, what do you think Sean did at that moment when he said, "You're not my dad"?
How old is this kid?
10 years old.
Oh, my gosh. 10. It's so difficult. Because I know that in the 80s, one of my parents would have just grabbed that kid by the arm and gave them a good jarring shake as they brought him close and would have said, "I know you're not my child, but I know whether it's a shovel, and I'll take care of you right now in the backyard. You'll never make it to the car. You'll never see your parents again."
Oh,
I know
gosh.
That's what would have happened. I'm guessing that's not what you did.
Nope.
Okay.
Did you grab his arm?
I have to guess. It's my turn.
All right.
I want to guess because I know Sean pretty well.
Caught up emotionally in the moment.
I hope you made him watch all those weird movies that you watch, like the anime.
That's going to make it better. That's going to make it better.
He might like that, yeah.
All right. Yeah. No, I have no idea. How did you handle that situation? Because I would have been so upset, but I know that I probably would not have done anything.
You would have cried.
I wouldn't have cried. I would have, like, talked smack to my friends about this child. But
yeah.
Hold on. Time out. Do you know the parents well?
Yeah, pretty well.
Oh, I would have told on them. What did you do?
Well, my eyes could not have been bulging out of my head any more than they were. They probably would have popped out if they did. But I just said, like, a few moments of silence, and I just looked at him and said, "All right, bet. Let's see what your parents say."
Yeah.
And he just ran off.
Yeah. Right.
He went on to the next ride.
Ran off.
I mean, he was at an amusement park. He's like, "I'll deal with that later."
I'm assuming he wanted to go find his parents to try to tell him something different.
But... Oh, so the parents were there also. Okay.
Oh, no, I caught up to them before he could.
The race to see who gets there first.
Were they outraged?
Oh, yeah, they left immediately.
Yeah.
They're like, "All right, we're leaving then."
Oh, wow.
Good. Good for them.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I'm all about following through on threats. Like when you say, like, "We're going to leave if whatever," like, you should leave. I've been dealing with that myself with my 4-year-old. Like when I threaten things, like, "If you do that again, we're going to go," like actually going. So I'm glad they did that. Do you think he learned his lesson?
I hope he did, because that was a super embarrassing moment for me, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, how do I tell, like, strangers, like, "I'm sorry, it's not my kid"?
I mean, I feel like you're still burdened by it now, all these days later, right?
It's still burning in my head, yeah.
That's the problem as parents, is he's got to learn to let go of his resentment, so next time you see this kid, you don't trip him.
It's time to apologize.
Yeah.
You want to say you're sorry for something you did? You can call 1-800-330-9999. Last month, this woman had this epic meltdown on an American Airlines flight when she insisted that one of the other passengers wasn't real.
Oh, I thought it was the plane wasn't real.
No, the passenger.
Okay.
"I'm telling you, I'm getting off, and there's a reason why I'm getting off, and everyone can either believe it or they cannot believe it. But I am telling you right now that back there is not real."
Imagine being that poor person.
Oh, my.
Being like, "But no, I'm definitely real. No, I'm real."
Right. The person that they're pointing to,
yes.
Going, "That person is not real yet," seems strange. And it is scary.
It's so scary.
I mean, listening to her voice, I mean, she sounds manic and a little bit over the top. So
right.
I don't know if she was doing it for attention or if she was actually having some sort of episode. But, you know, it's jarring if you're a passenger on that plane.
Now she has apologized.
Okay.
"Hi, everyone. It's me, Tiffany Gomez, probably better known as the crazy plane lady.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take full accountability for my actions. They were completely unacceptable. And I want to apologize to everyone on that plane, especially those that had children aboard."
Yeah.
What you feel like, if it's coming from a genuine place, that's great. You need to get in front of these things as quickly as you can nowadays. Your whole life will be canceled.
Absolutely.
You know, lose your job, everything. And I mean, you know.
You know, she didn't explain, and it's no one's business but her own. But obviously, like,
how would you understand it anyway? She thought somebody was not there.
Real,
right.
I know.
So
you have to have some sympathy that you never know what's going on in people's lives.
Never do.
Right.
Right.
Anyway, it's time for you to apologize. You want the chance to apologize too, Raven? I want to apologize.
Okay.
I want to apologize to my church. On Christmas in 2003, Madonna was really making ponchos and cowboy hats very popular. And I went to Christmas Eve Mass wearing a poncho and a cowboy hat. Leopard print.
Wow.
And I look back and I think to myself, I'm so sorry to all the people who were at that Mass just going there for Christmas. And here I am in a leopard poncho and cowboy hat.
Totally disrespecting the moment.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm glad you got that off your chest.
Yeah. What do you want to apologize for? 1-800-330-9999. Heather.
"I still to this day feel really bad about this new kid who came in for eighth grade from out of town. And me and a bunch of like friends of mine made fun of her shoes to where she could hear it. We were just trying to be cool, and I, to this day, feel bad about it.
I think sometimes when you look back on things you do when you're young and you're just so ashamed and there's nothing you can do to take it back. Oh, gosh. Yeah, that stays with you.
It's a terrible thing, but I do believe, honestly, like that shame that you feel when you think about it has kept you from doing anything similar basically your entire life.
Agreed.
Like once you come to that realization of the things that you've done and the pain that you've caused, what was wrong with me? Why would I do that? It's also kept me from ever doing it again.
For real.
Right. Oof. So you got to give yourself some forgiveness. And then if you see her, try and say nice. From time to time, we run into people like at the grocery store or whatever, me and my wife, and my wife will whisper to me, she bullied me in second grade. And I'll be like, I will flip her into her grocery cart right now if you want, you know? I'm lucky. Like the town I grew up in when I was really small and I would deal with more bullying, I don't live there anymore, right? So I never run into those people at the grocery store. To have that still in my face kind of after all these years, I don't even know how I would react.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to my old town today. Ann, are you going to back me up?
No. No, we got to let it go.
We're going to go walk around the grocery store and we're going to find a couple of these kids.
That doesn't seem like a good idea.
You're going to confront them for me.
Okay. They called her the crazy plane lady. Last month on American Airlines, this woman went viral because she kept insisting that one of the passengers wasn't real and to let her off the plane, and everybody freaked out.
Listen, if the shoe fits.
Yeah, and now she's issued an apology.
I want to take full accountability for my actions. They were completely unacceptable.
That poor person that was like, I am real.
Right.
I am.
You're just sitting there. You're like, whoa, me? Me? I want an upgrade for my seat if somebody's pointing at me out like that on a flight.
All right. It's I'm sorry day. What do you want to apologize for? Anything you want. 1-800-330-9999. Katie.
I didn't leave a tip at the coffee shop. The screen just passed by and I didn't have any cash and the transaction was over and I just can't stop thinking about it. I just feel so bad. If anybody needs a tip, it's the barista at the coffee shop.
I mean, I feel like you got to let yourself go, right? Do you tip every other time?
I do. I think it's important.
I mean, I think it's important too, absolutely. But I'm sure that you're probably tipping more than required. Anna, you and I, we were just having this discussion about bar drinks a couple weeks ago. At some point, we graduated to the thing that we were like, if we get a bar tab, it's got to be 20 or 25%. That's what we're tipping there. Whereas it used to be $1 every drink. So I'm guessing that you're probably leaving more than $1 tip for your coffee because your coffee probably costs $6.
Yeah, totally.
I went to a coffee shop where they put the two different jars out and one said Thor and the other said Iron Man. So you had a vote, you know, with your dollar bills. I don't have any singles on me. So it's not like I don't want to leave you a couple dollars and vote for Thor versus Iron Man. It's like I just don't have it. And I feel so guilty when I pull away and I'm like, are they judging me because I didn't put like a dollar in one of those things right now? We should go back to carrying cash. What? Remember? You always had money in your pocket.
No, I don't want that. I spend more.
Paul, what do you want to apologize for?
So there was this girl I was dating here for like, I guess it was about 3 months. And she was just like this talker. Like she's just jabbering and jabbering and jabbering. And I didn't know how to break it off exactly. And I thought if I did try to break it off, she'd probably want to talk about it and keep the relationship going. And so I just ghosted her.
Oh,
that's but sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what? Sometimes you're just like, you lose the energy to do something and you say, I know I got to deal with this and you're going to deal with it next week. And then for whatever reason, it doesn't get dealt with or it doesn't come up. And then it just, time goes by. And you're like, you know what? Forget it. I'm giving myself a pass on that one.
Did you consciously decide to ghost her? Or did you, like, just happen, you stopped returning her calls and the next thing you know, it was weeks later?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, at first I wasn't trying to. I just was like, I'm going to give it some time. I'm going to give it, maybe she'll get a hint if I stop messaging back. And then it just, I never messaged back again.
That's sad.
I'm sure she's moved on.
But do you think she should, maybe he should reach out to her and say, like, I'm sorry about the way things ended. I shouldn't have, that wasn't the right way. I mean, like, for real apology.
Well, I mean, yes, you should do that now. But if she says, let's get together and talk, you have to say no.
Then you have to ghost her again.
Yeah.
Then you gotta,
that's what I'm saying. So now you're opening that box again.
Oh.
Now you're, you know, you don't know.
Yeah, you just move on. It's all right. You apologized.
Let yourself go, dude. Yeah. Say 10 Hail Marys and you're good.
All right.
Look at intern Rebecca's face.
Right, it's all shocking.
All right. This is an intervention. And I think we have to do it. We've come together. Producer John Raven, we talked yesterday. And producer Sean, we have to tell you something now that you are a father.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what it is.
You got to stop taking off your shirt all the time.
Oh, right. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Producer Sean has a reputation for being like, he just takes off his shirt wherever he goes. He wears tank tops all the time for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
And we're out in public and we're at an event. People yell, "Producer Sean, take off your shirt." And you know what he does? He takes it off.
His shirt off. Yes, he does.
That's
gives
right.
the people what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much they really want it so much as it's the thing that he's become notorious for. But I used to have a friend who did this every time he lost his temper. And I would say, don't let my friend take his shirt off. But you, it's all times. It's times of joy. It's times of anger. It's times of heat. But also, it's been cold in here before. It's not all that hot today.
No.
Clothes are overrated.
Sean loves to be shirtless, and right now he has no shirt on, which is why intern Rebecca looks like she doesn't understand what's happening.
Yeah.
But we talked about it, and now that you have baby Booker, and he's an adorable baby, we care about him, and we care about how he's going to grow up,
yeah.
and we want you to keep your shirt on.
So how does this affect my baby? He's just gonna have the dad who always has his shirt off. That's just saying,
you know, right, the behavior should change is all we're saying. It's like, you know, that you're grown now.
Yeah, there's things that you can't do once you become a father or a mother, for example. Like, there's just some things that you can't, like, you can't go out to long dinners anymore, long romantic dinners with you and Rachel. Like, those days are gone. Now you have to go to places that they can serve you in 30 minutes or less, and that's it.
So should the shirt go back on?
You can put this is the last time you can take your shirt off in front
sweet.
Of us.
That's it, just today.
It's a celebration.
Now that you have kids, Sean, you can't cut anybody in line anymore, at least when they're with you. You can't cut anybody in line. This goes for children, adults, whatever it may be. A couple reasons, confrontation, not good, but you have to teach them the high moral ground. Which is really the part that I despise the most. I hate that part.
Well, Ed, I'm glad you brought up confrontation, Raven, because Sean, you are a person who you know has a lot of respect for themselves, right?
Yeah.
And you don't enjoy it when people cut you off in line, maybe cut the line at the grocery store. And I've seen you personally mouth off to people.
Mm.
Gotta stop doing that.
No more mouthing off.
Can't be getting arrested with the fisticuffs. It's a bad call.
Can't teach the potty mouth either.
No.
Yes. You gotta stop swearing. You can't do that.
But I got the mustache for the fisticuffs.
No.
You do.
Bare knuckle brawler. Man.
Nobody would know if you had your shirt on though.
Right.
That's the thing.
Just as a reminder, this entire time, producer Sean has just been sitting here with no shirt on.
Can I also just call attention to the fact that Sean shaves the bottom half of his chest, but not the top half?
Nope, that's enough information.
That's, okay, we're good.
We're going to leave
just
it at that.
Just saying, if you go to our Instagram, you know what? Never mind.
Yeah.
Let's just go for the advice.
If you want to see this, you can go to our Instagram at Anna and Raven and see.
Come on.
If you missed it, we just had an intervention with producer Sean. We had to tell him that now that he's a father and he has baby Booker, he has to stop taking off his shirt in public everywhere he goes.
Yeah, some people are prone to these types of behaviors. Sean has been one of them, but now that he's a dad, can't do that anymore.
What are the things that you can't do once you become a parent? 1-800-330-9999. Mike?
I've always loved video games, and so I'm someone who can just like get like lost and just play for like 8 hours straight. And now that I have a kid, I'm realizing that I need to not do that. I need to just, you know, leave and go play video games for like 5 hours, or my wife will kill me.
5 hours a day for video games is probably a lot when you have a child.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's probably a lot when you have anything, but I'm going to say, yes, you're right, sir. Anything over an hour would be bad. And of course, if the baby cries during your hour of allotted video game time, you're going to have to pause it.
The hotel I stayed at this past weekend, there was a gamer convention going on. I've never seen, you know, it's a lot of people walking around with TV screens and like going in and out of
carrying them with each other.
Yeah, it was wild. And, you know, they all had like cliched T-shirts on and gamer. it was interesting. 90% guys in their 30s.
That's wild to me, right? I mean, I know things have gotten so advanced, and at a lot of these conventions, there's even tournaments that are worth a whole lot of money.
Oh, yeah, that's what was going on.
Okay, yeah.
There was even a gamer metal band on Saturday night that I wanted to go check out, but unfortunately, I refused to pay a cover for that.
You mean they didn't let you in because you were the only woman there?
Nope, didn't care. All right. Barbara, what shouldn't you do once you have a kid?
I would say
avoid any dangerous activity, jumping out of a plane, like anything. I just keep obsessing over like what would happen to my child if I wasn't here anymore. And it terrifies me. So I just want to like, you know, live that safe life.
So, I mean, there's a sliding scale as to what people think is dangerous. I would say anything involving a parachute, I tend to agree.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. I used to be like, maybe I would do that one day. But now I'm like, you know what? I can just as easily not.
My friend Rita just went with her son, who's in college. And I thought that she's like an adrenaline junkie. So it was like a big deal. She's been saying like ever since that, you know, he was a little boy, one day they were going to do it. And they did it for Mother's Day this past year. And I thought that was cool. But then I also kept thinking, what if something happens? You are responsible for the fact that you and your son jumped out of a plane.
Well, I mean, if he's 4 years old, it's different, right? If he's an adult and he's making the same decision with you, then that's something else.
Yeah, he's 21 now. Yeah,
and you got him to a certain age too, right?
Yeah,
you prepared him.
You're done now.
You prepared him. If I bounce when we land, then you'll probably be all right.
Gail, what should you stop doing immediately after you have a child?
So you need to stop painting your body, like painting like for concerts or like sports games. Just don't do it. That is so not cool once you're a mom.
I mean, it's once you're a dad, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You shouldn't be out painting your dad bod, you know, going to a concert or whatever once you have children, because there's going to be a photo or a video inevitably, and you're going to ruin your kid's life.
Imagine you like... You're at home and your dad went to a Cowboys game or wherever, a football game, and all of a sudden he's on the big screen and he's got no shirt on, his belly, and he's painted half in blue and half in white.
And he's the letter D.
Yeah.
Right. Or A or L. Proud moment. Definitely don't paint your body.
Right.
Or at Ozfest.
Festival body painting. Definitely you don't want to see your mom like
No. That time expired with the 70s, right? After Woodstock, everybody agrees that that's no longer cool. During Woodstock, you're like, oh, well, it was, you know, that time. Now that time is over.
One couple.
At 28, he's still exactly the same.
I get what she's saying, and I mean, I'm not proud of it or anything.
One problem.
Marty is just one of those really picky eaters.
You decide the outcome.
I mean, I'm not going to not go out to eat with my husband. I guess I don't really have a choice, so.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Larry and Iris. Iris, how old are your twins?
They're about to be in kindergarten.
Okay. All right. That's exciting. My daughter's starting kindergarten as well.
They're two girls.
And what's the problem that you're having?
So the principal asked if we wanted to keep them together or separate them this year. And I feel strongly that they need to be separated because they're going to be at some point. So let's just get it over with while they're little. My husband does not agree.
Larry, what's your side of this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree just because when they were in preschool together, they were all doing well. Everything was great. There were no issues at all. They've always had each other, right? They're twins. I think the idea that suddenly we want to separate them when there's no issues just doesn't make any sense. If there were issues, I could understand. Fine. If we get to first grade or second grade or third or whatever, and we want to separate them, that's fine. But we're talking about them going to a new school, a big school, a much bigger school. And wanting to separate them now, I just think this is not a good idea.
This would be confusing for me, I think. Anna?
I know that this is a big deal. I think it's interesting that the school gives you the option.
Right.
I wish that it was like one way across the board. Like you always separate them or you always keep them together. So at least like there's expectations. I think it's hard when the parents are given the option.
Mm.
I mean, I know that you can request, like I've requested that my daughter be put with, you know, my niece. I don't know if that'll happen or not. I'm going to probably find out in the next day or two. But I like the idea of when you're starting something big like kindergarten, where it's a scary transition, that there's a familiar face. And when it's your sister, that's a nice familiar face to have, like doing it together.
Iris, what's kind of your thought process on let's get this happening now? I mean, we all understand, obviously, they're not going to be together their entire lives. But why now? At 5, 6 years old, right, going into school, their first situation?
Well, I just think it's like starting a new language. The earlier you start, you know, the more it's going to be natural to you. It's like muscle memory. That's my feeling. They should start now and before it gets like they're just used to each other and they cling and rely on each other even more.
It's hard. I don't know. Part of me sees that side, too. Just rip the Band-Aid off. Like, just, you know, they're going to learn they're not going to be in school together. They're not going to be in the same class.
As siblings, though, too, their relationship changes once there's a lot more kids in the mix, too. Like, it's just to me, I think that those are all things to consider. But I'm not going to tell you what to do, obviously.
Well, there's a lot of parents that have certainly probably been through this, and a lot of teachers that I'm sure have opinions, too. So let's see what they say. Kindergartners, twins, starting school together. Do you keep them in the same class, or do you separate them?
1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Ann and Raven.
Twin girls, 5 years old, going into kindergarten. Do you keep them in the same class, or do you separate them? That's exactly the decision that they have to figure out right now, Larry and Iris, their daughters. It's a tough decision. I can't believe the school actually gave them the option. That's interesting to me.
Well, I think that when they're kindergartners, you know, they've got a little bit more latitude than they would normally have. Iris just basically says, listen, let's separate them now. They can find their own way, make their own identities. They're not going to have each other to rely on forever. Let's, you know, rip this Band-Aid off and get it underway. And Larry just says, I mean, what's the big deal here? It's kindergarten. There's going to be other opportunities to separate them. At this point, it's a new experience. Let them go into it together.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Hi, my name is Kathy. I'm actually in the car with my identical twin, Carol. So you've got both of us.
Wait a minute. Grown twins in the car together right now.
Are you going to work together? Do you work at the same place?
We pet sit and live together.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I love it.
All right. So what do you think about this? Whose side are you on?
Actually, I missed the beginning part, so I'll just say I'm on the side of whoever agrees to separate them, because you spend your entire life being compared all the time about everything, and you really need some time for autonomy, and so it's a good time. Like, we were together, we were separated in kindergarten, and we were fine with it. And then we were together for a couple of years in Catholic school after that, but then we were separated again. We were always fine with it, together or separate, but it's always good to have some time of autonomy.
And your sister, who's in the car, completely disagrees. And now you guys are going to get into a drag-out argument over this thing before you get into work.
Well, you know, crazy thing, for 22 years, we shared a room and our wardrobe. So we shared plenty.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. If you have twins, do you keep them together when they start kindergarten, or do you separate them? That's exactly the decision that Larry and Iris are dealing with right now. Iris says, let's just separate them. It's a new school. It's a new experience. And let them go in different kindergarten classes.
Larry says, let's keep them together. What's the big deal here? It's kindergarten. It's a new experience. They're going to a big school. You know, we can always separate them down the line. I got to tell you, I'm not sure what I would do. I thought that I would want to keep them together, but just it's different when you're living it, when you're there.
I just can't imagine, like, as a mom, when your babies have been together forever. Like, they don't know a life without each other, and then all of a sudden you have to make a decision like that. It's a big one. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Kevin?
I think they should be separated, because I'm a twin, and I think they need to develop their own personalities and their own person. Because I was with my twin brother all my life up until I went to high school. We were always compared to each other. We were always together. They should be separated at a younger age, because I think it would be better for them.
You know, constantly being compared to somebody every day, whether people, you know, are realizing it or not subconsciously, that would be really, really hard.
I think so. But I think when you're a twin, you don't know any different.
Yeah.
Hey, Jenny, what do you think?
So while I totally understand where the dad's coming from, I have to go with the mom on this side, only because I think that children start to learn and develop their coping habits super early on, and I think that keeping them together is going to develop some kind of a codependency between the two of them, and I just think it'll get worse as they got older, just because it's rooted so firmly from the beginning.
Cindy, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
I agree with the wife, as I am an identical twin. My mom separated us at kindergarten, which was a good idea, because we made our own friends. We had our own identities. I think by putting the kids together, that might not happen.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Iris, our audience agreed with you. Just separate them from the beginning. Let them know that, unfortunately, they're not going to be in the same class together, but they'll be able to see each other at drop-off and pick-up and at recess. And you know, from the beginning, they'll just understand that they're two individual people.
Well, thank you. That's reasonable. And thank you so much for confirming what I always knew to be right.
Larry, if I was you, I wouldn't be there drop-off day number one. Let mom deal with that sobbing. That's going to be your heartbreak to handle there, Iris.
Okay. I'm here for it.
Yeah. Toughen up, kid. You're 5 and a half now. real world is waiting for you to grow up.
Big girl undies. Oh, put them on.
Terrible. Terrible.
Larry, you going to be all right with that?
I mean, I'm going to have to be, right? Like, and I get it. Like, I do get that, like, yeah, they're different and we want to, you know, I can understand the argument. I just, you're totally right, though. I definitely don't want to be the one day one dropping them off.
Nope.
Now, that's a all mom right. job.
Not me.
Deal.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Be Raven cash jackpot is $2,400 thanks to HelloFresh. End of summer blues? HelloFresh does the meal planning and delivers pre-portioned ingredients and tasty recipes right to your home so you can enjoy summer a little bit longer. Get 50% off plus free shipping with code 50annaraven at HelloFresh.com/50annaraven. Dave.
Hello.
You ready to play today?
I am ready to play.
All right. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, Dave.
All right. Dave, who's that?
That was my daughter. We listen to you guys every morning. And she sits there and tries to answer the questions with me.
All right. Sounds good. What's her name?
Luna.
All right. Dave and Luna, let's do this. Raven's out of here. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in. Ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Ready.
All right. Let's do this, guys. Number one, a rumor claims that Tobey Maguire is interested in making a 4th Spider-Man movie. What are the 2 major colors on Spider-Man's outfit?
Red and blue.
Number 2, Target is now allowing customers to add their Starbucks orders to the drive-up service. What dog breed is Target's mascot Bullseye?
Ooh.
Guess, Luna, anything.
No clue.
Okay. Number 3, the show that follows people that bid and win abandoned storage lockers claims that one of the lockers they purchased contained a safe in it. In that safe was $7.5 million. What A&E show is that?
Storage Wars?
Number 4, Skittles officially announced the release of mustard-flavored Skittles. What company makes and distributes Skittles? A big one.
Nabisco.
Okay. And number 5, Ed Sheeran worked the shift at the Lego store in the Mall of America while on his mathematics tour. What state is the Mall of America in?
New Jersey?
Let me bring Raven back in.
Ew.
It's American Dream. Okay, 2 out of 5 for Dave and Luna.
Not great, $2,400. Let's see how I do.
Number 1, a rumor claims that Tobey Maguire is interested in making a 4th Spider-Man movie. But what are the 2 major colors on Spider-Man's outfit?
Red and blue.
Yep. Number 2, Target is now allowing customers to add their Starbucks orders to the drive-up service. What dog breed is Target's mascot Bullseye?
Is a Boston or a Bull Terrier.
Which one?
They're the same as far as I know. I'll say he's a Bull Terrier.
That's right. Number 2, the show that follows people that bid and win abandoned storage lockers claims that one of the lockers they purchased contained a safe in it. In that safe was $7.5 million.
Wow.
What A&E show is that?
That's got to be Storage Wars, right?
That's right. Yep. I love that show. Obsessed.
I used to love that show, mm-hmm. and then I got out of it for a long time.
My daughter, Hayden, my older daughter, we used to watch it all the time together, and I told her one day we were going to go buy one. We're going to do it, like, just for fun.
I'm just not sure it would be that sensational without the television cameras.
Yeah. And I'm also grossed out by touching other people's things. But
right, so that'll be a problem.
I want to do it once.
You'll have to overcome that, right.
Number 4, Skittles officially announced the release of mustard-flavored Skittles. What company makes and distributes Skittles?
I'm just going to take a shot and say Mars.
Mars is right.
Yeah.
I would also have accepted the Wrigley Company, which is owned by Mars.
Okay.
Number 5, Ed Sheeran worked a shift at the Lego store in the Mall of America while on his mathematics tour.
Mm.
What state is the Mall of America located in?
Is that Minnesota?
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, guys. He beat you 5-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. My name is David. And we can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt. You two, $2,500 tomorrow, Anna.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.